Today, the latest on May 2019 home prices. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Yesterday in the Property Imperative Weekly, I included some high-level data relating to home prices over the last year. But I had a number of people ask for more detailed information, and as I had built the charts but couldn't include them yesterday because the programme already got too long, I thought today I would just revisit the May home price movements using the CoreLogic data. So in Sydney, over the last month, the month of May, prices fell 0.45%. Over the quarter, they dropped 2%. Over the last year, they've dropped 10.7%. And from peak, they've dropped 14.9%. In Melbourne, over the last month, they fell 0.3%. Over the quarter, down 1.7%. Over the last year, down 9.9%. And from the previous peak, 11.1%. In Brisbane, over the last month, they fell 0.4%. They fell 1.3% over the quarter, 2.5% annually, and they dropped 2.1% from their last peak. In Adelaide, home prices rose on average 0.17% in May, having dropped 0.2% over the quarter, had risen 0.4% over the last year, but had dropped 0.5% from their previous peak. In Perth, and this is a big one, prices fell another 0.99% over the last month. They fell 1.8% over the quarter. They dropped 8.8% for the last year. And from the peak, they're down 19.2%. And the five major centres dropped 0.44% over the last month, fell 1.7% over the quarter, down 8.8% annually, and down 10.7% from their peak. And the point to make here, of course, is that these are average numbers, and in a number of centres, property prices dropped considerably more than this average. And while we're talking about home price movements, details at a postcode level provide a little bit more clarity as to what's going on. For example, in Newcastle West, units have fallen 14.9% over the last year. Compare that with Newcastle, 2300, and there the median values have fallen 12.2%. But in Hurstville, the values have dropped 8.6% over the last year, whereas houses in the same area have dropped 17.3%. In Paddington, 2021, prices for units have dropped 14.7% over the last year, and in North Ryde, units are down 31.2%. That's one of the steepest drops across the Sydney region. In Drummoyne, units have dropped 18.7% over the last year. That's 2047. Down in Victoria, Frankston properties, houses have dropped 11.9% over the last year. Back to New South Wales, Adamston, Adamstown, 2289, has fallen 8.7%, that's units. And in Hamilton, 2303, units have dropped 14.9% over the last 12 months. It's also just worth noting that there are some places where property prices have risen. For example, Noosa Heads units, that's 4567, have risen 19.3% over the last year. And houses in 4567, on the other hand, have dropped 5.3% over the last 12 months. And that underscores a very important point. We do need to get granular. We do need to look at the difference between houses and units at a postcode level and below, because averages mask significant and important differences. Now, we can also just look at the annual movements and see the trends over the last year again based on the CoreLogic series. And you can see that in Sydney, prices dropped down to about 12%, and they've muddled sideways for the last few weeks. In Melbourne, a slightly smaller fall, but not really quite so much of a recovery so far. In Brisbane, prices are down, not as far, but the trend is definitely downward. In Adelaide, a little bit of a peak up recently, but if you look at the trend over the last year, still below the peaks at the beginning of the year. And in Perth, well, I'm afraid gravity continues to pull prices further south. And the five average cities showed a further slight decline over the last few weeks. Now, it will be very interesting to see to what extent these change in the weeks ahead. And finally, just while we're talking, I thought I'd just share with you the RBA credit aggregate chart that I built, but again, couldn't go through because there wasn't time in yesterday's post. So this is looking at the annual seasonally adjusted movements in total credit by category. So you can see there that overall housing is down to 3.9%. And in fact, that's as low as it's been for a very long time. Within that, owner-occupied housing still grows at 5.5%. That's more than double inflation and more than double wages growth at the moment. Whereas investor lending is down at 0.62% annualized growth. And you can see from the trend there that it continues to weaken. Personal credit was down again, down 2.79%. And there's been quite an interesting move there insofar that the rate of fall that we saw in January and February has eased off. We think that's because more households are reaching for personal credit to try and help manage their finances. Business credit is also down, annualized at 4.46%. But again, you can see it dipping away now. Business confidence is pretty low, and many businesses, according to our surveys, are struggling with cash flow issues. And that relates to income being pretty weak, costs continuing to rise, and of course, having to pay the tax man on time. All credit, therefore, ended up at an annualized 3.7%. And again, that's one of the lowest numbers that we've seen for absolutely years. And I think this underscores the reason why it is now that everybody's talking about the need to relax credit lending standards. However, my own view is that's probably not the right strategy, as we discussed yesterday. And there's one more observation which I just want to leave with you. Broad money, which is, if you like, the total amount of money in circulation, has grown at 4.24%. But look at the acceleration since the start of the year. Now, my hypothesis here is that this is all to do with the RBA's market operations. And we suspect that they've been quietly stimulating the economy over the last few weeks and months to try and turn it around. I should be very interested to see how broad money develops going forward, because this is potentially an early indicator of quantitative easing in action. And finally, just a couple of closing thoughts. The first is, I think we are going to see a change in credit momentum ahead because of the weaker lending standards that are being brought in, the Reserve Bank will cut, and the other incentives in play. But I suspect that the rebound will be quite limited and quite weak. We'll be updating our scenarios over the next few days. We're getting our household survey data in now, and we'll be reporting on mortgage stress in a few days, and also household confidence. I'll be interested to see whether there's been any change in confidence either side of the election. And finally, preliminary data from my surveys suggests that it's not probably investors who are considering coming back into the market. Some first-time buyers are being tickled by the new opportunities. And we're also seeing some people wanting to take a short-term position to buy a property and then turn it again in a few months' time on the expectation that property prices are going to rebound. So not a long-term hold, but rather a buy and flip. My observation is, therefore, that this could create some momentum in the short term. But if they do try to sell later in the year, then effectively prices will probably continue to fall. And my own modelling is suggesting that there may be a rebound over the next couple of months, just a little bit. But then prices will continue south. So keep watching DFA, and we'll update you as new information comes to hand. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.